stays stable on the touch of the in-breath and out-breath, when it stays stable on the touch of the, you don't follow the breath inside the body, you don't follow the breath outside the body, you stay stable with the touch. So suppose you observe the breath at the nostrils, either at the upper lip or on the tip of the nose. So that area you should stay comfortably with, should not be too big. If it's too big, your mind will disperse. If it's too tight, then your mind will become tight, then you will never get an image. You will only get an image when you stay very comfortably with the touch of the in-breath and out-breath wherever you observe it. That means you don't hold to any image, that is a mistake. Let it come naturally by the force of your mindfulness and awareness of this touching point where you experience the in-breath and out-breath. The touching point we have explained is called anapananimitta. The sign of anapana. So first you have to get a clear sign of the anapana, which is a mental sign, which will enable you, as just we have explained, to check the tendency of the mind to run to the kamagunas, to the qualities of the five senses, objects of the five senses. So what you observe, this is very important to understand. Paoksayano especially never tires of explaining, and this comes very, very close to our understanding of Yogacara also, which is very useful. That image of the breath which you observe in shamatha, according to Yogacara, even in Vipassana, but not according to Theravada, that image that you observe in the shamatha is actually a concept of the breath. It is not the real breath, but it is, Sayano calls it concept of the breath. You stay with the concept of the breath because it is a mental image. Only then you will have get into the process of sublimation of the mind, sensation and the object, which happens in dependence. This is dependent origination. When the object becomes subtle, the sensation becomes more subtle. When the sensation becomes more subtle, the mind becomes more subtle. When the mind becomes more subtle, the sensation becomes more subtle. When the sensation becomes more subtle, the object becomes more subtle. That's how it works.
You gotta put that closer. Not okay. Quite that close.
Yeah, I read it. Okay. So, the parikama, you are literally, pari means around, you are walking around, you are preparing, that means you are getting clarity about this concept of the breath. At this stage, then you, because you are getting clarity about this concept of the breath, you may experience initially some sporadic colors together with the touch of the breath. Some of you may have experienced it already. They may appear and disappear. They will not be clear. They will be kind of cloud. Mist-like formations. then you don't pay attention to them. If you pay attention to an unstable object, your mind may also become unstable. You just observe the in-breath and out-breath at this anapana nimitta, the sign of in-breath and out-breath that you have created in the mind. Call it the concept of the breath. Because a real breath is vibration, pushing. You don't follow these qualities. The real breath is warmth when you breathe out, coolness when you breathe in. When you're meditating shamatha, you want to appease the mind, you don't follow these qualities because they're always changing. You stay with the same image of the breath, which you can call the concept of the breath. When you stay with this concept of the breath, then your mind will naturally develop a more subtle sensation and a subtle mind on that image. The meditation of shamatha is actually the meditation on mental images. And you don't change these mental images. That's why you can sublimate your mind on these mental images. The more concentrated you are, the more sublime these mental images will become. So if you stay with this concept of the breath, you stabilize your mind on this concept of the breath, you don't follow these impressions of the five senses, you may experience them naturally. There will be warmth and coolness, there will be vibration, but you don't pay attention to them, you pay attention only to that concept. Only then you can go into the dhyana. If you pay attention to these qualities, you will not go into the dhyana because the mind is always changing. So when you stay with this same concept, then naturally you don't need to search for it. If you search for it, it will not happen. Why? Because you want to grasp. The grasping is the opposite of appeasement. When there is appeasement, there is no grasping. When there is grasping, there is no appeasement. So you don't search for any light or anything like that. If you do it, you will only lose it if it happens. What you all care about is maintaining the mind on that stable concept. Then these sporadic images will stabilize at the touching point, or Paok Sayadaw calls it a touching point, but actually touching point is not a good word, because when you use a touching point, you do like this, then you will never get any jhana. You have to be relaxed, so call it the touching place, it's better. So you stay with this touching place, which leads to this clear image. Then these impressions will start stabilizing, because you don't change your attention. Then they will form a stable image which you can already grasp. This is called the ugaha nimitta, utgaha. You can pick it up. Ut means up, graha means taking. You can pick it up. When you pick it up, then you can forget about the breath, and you just, it will be there, but you ignore it. Then when you stabilize on that, having grasped that, then it becomes the patibhaga nimitta, the reflected image. The reflected image is the object of the proximate jhana, upachara jhana. You need definitely at least the concentration of the upachara jhana to go into the deep vipassana. Otherwise your vipassana will always be very, very superficial. Then, if you practice Zen, some teachers teach first you work on the breath to create this clear image. Then you use the Zen methods like Huato or whatever. Otherwise your mind will not be able to grasp the object of meditation. Then, when you go to the upachara jhana, then still your mind can abandon the object. But you will feel it very clearly at that stage. But when this patibhaga nimitta is more stabilized, the mind can merge with it completely, then this distinction between subject and object disappears, then you have the experience of jhana. And you can use it then for vipassana by investigating the mind which goes to the image which you can actually experience at the base of your mind. Unless you have jhana, you cannot experience that image. You have created a reflected image at the base of the mind because it comes from there, so you can experience it there. So these are, roughly speaking, the stages, importance to understand. Don't try to catch any images or don't try to search for some light. You have to let it come naturally. That is the only way.
Is the process you just described the same when you have awareness in the whole body, the sandbag
approach? Yes. Then the whole body becomes your object of touch.
And
then, but it is more difficult to stabilize the mind on such a big area.
But so how does the nimitta form then when you have such a large field of awareness?
Naturally. Okay. Because in this in-between breath, you don't need to think about it. Your awareness, there is no any particular place of touch, so your awareness will spread to the whole body. Then, if you can maintain that image, then the whole body will become kind of clear mass. Then you can see it again at the base of your mind. Doesn't matter the mind, if it is a big image or a small image, it doesn't matter for the mind. Where is the mind? Okay, so let us come to the other question. Bhante, please explain why one should not contact water within 30 minutes after qigong. That must be in the booklet, no? Is drinking water allowed, recommended? Okay, this is does not need a long explanation. When you practice qigong, you naturally create energy in the body. You, so to say, vitalize the body. The body is living because it has chi, the prana, and it has warmth, no? So wherever there is a clear presence of the prana, there is a warmth in the body. So when you do the qigong, you create this clear impression of the prana, which is connected with the warmth. And what does the water do to this? The water, of course, is the yin. It this qi is yang, but the water is yin. So you are, if you take immediately shower after the qigong, or you drink water after the qigong, so you are reducing this effect of creating warmth and energy in the body. Energy is also warmth, no? And the qi is energy. So this is very simple. And this effect of the qigong may not be long-lasting, but it's best to make the best of it. So give it 30 minutes or 50 minutes or whatever. Not immediately drink water, because you are reducing the effect of this energetizing the body. Energetizing the body is warming up the body, no? So if you do qigong in winter, you can still feel the warmth of the body. Now the last question. If appropriate, please explain how to do the more complicated counting techniques and when to use them. I have only been instructed to use simple counting, 1 to 8 or 1 to 10, up and down to steady the mind. Then more quickly unto mindfulness of breath. You indicated yesterday that it's somewhat optional, but also set one at 5 preliminaries. I don't quite understand, but I will explain this so-called complicated breathing. The complicated breathing is that you have 4 methods. The first method is, it is very simple, it is counting in-breath 1, out-breath 2. And like this you count until 10. And again start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The other method, which is normally used also in taught mostly in Theravada, you count the in-breath and out-breath as 1. This is more common, no? In-breath, out-breath 1, in-breath, out-breath 2, in-breath, out-breath 3, in-breath, out-breath 4, up to 10. And again, the same. The same process. Now, when you can keep your mind on this process for some time, then you can try the so-called complicated counting. This complicated counting is anuloma or pratuloma. That means anuloma is in order up, pratiloma is in order backwards. So when you have to some extent stabilized your attention on the breath, then to stabilize it even more by counting, you start counting 2 as 1 to 10, then 3 as 1 to 10, then 4 as 1 to 10, then 5 as 1 to 10, up to 10 as 1. So you count 100. Then you count back, pratiloma. You start counting 10 as 1, then 9 as 1, then 8 as 1, then 7 as 1, then 6 as 1, then 5 as 1, up to again 1 as 1. If you can master this process of going pratiloma, anuloma, pratiloma, going upwards and back, so you are master of counting. Then you will naturally, if you don't lose the count and you don't lose the breath and you experience each and every breath clearly, then naturally you will go into the following, the long or short breath, and also placing will become easy. So this is just a method. But it says also that this is for the dull practitioners. The more intelligent practitioners, they can maybe do it to some extent, but they will get very bored. When they get bored, they will start thinking about something else. And so you have a choice. But anyway, it is good to give it a try and try to do according to this 2 as 1, 3 as 1, 4 as 1, and see how long you can maintain the mind on the breath without getting without losing the breath or losing the count.
Losing the mind.
Okay. So these are the questions. There are no any other questions?
One more question. Isn't counting going to make the vipassana a little more difficult?
Not necessary. I have explained, you have to get the impression of the whole, then you can get also clear impression of the five aggregates, of the dependent origination, of the Four Noble Truths, even while counting. But first you have to learn step by step, then you can combine. This is the advantage of the Northern Buddhism, that they encourage you to see not to do in mechanical way. This is much more emphatically explained in the Northern Buddhism than in the Southern Buddhism. If you just follow the instructions, you are very easily involved in mechanical counting, mechanical following, mechanical placing. And this is, of course, the opposite of meditation. So you can actually, these four exercises, they are one process. They are not divided. Of course, when you pay attention to the long breath, you cannot pay attention to the short breath. But when you pay attention to the long or short breath, at the same time, you can follow from the beginning to the end, and you can place on the concept of the breath at the touching point. Why not? It's one process. So you don't think, I am just following the long breath, now I am following the short breath, now I am learning to experience the whole body while breathing in and breathing out. There is still long or short. And when the image appears, there is still a long and short breath. So we have to see meditation as an organic process. And people very often, they think that it must be like this, then like this, then like that, then like that. But by meditation, if it goes really deep, we are breaking our habits. And our habits are the habits of mechanical thinking. That's why meditation brings freedom to the mind, by getting rid of the mechanical thinking. So it is very important from the very beginning. That's this this emphasis is much more in Northern Buddhism, but of course every good teacher also explains in whatever Buddhism there may be. The meditation is an organic process. It is not you only separate to put together. But this is much more clear in the Northern tradition than in the Southern tradition. Okay, so that much for the questions today. It's good to have some feedback and some more questions. We can have more and more interesting discussions and learn together more. If you give me some good challenge, I can think of more more thorough explanation. And now it's time to meditate.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.